Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, you know, we talk a lot about making first impressions. We talk a lot about how you can attract those advisors that fit your preferred advisor profile. Today I went out and I found an expert on nonverbal communication, making the right first impression. He's been at this for a very, very long time. Bill Acheson is an expert in nonverbal communication. As a matter of fact, for 23 years, he taught communication at the University of Pittsburgh. And since that time, many years ago, in our financial services industry, where if you go all the way back to 1994, he was actually a trainer at Federated Investors, he's been working almost exclusively in the financial services community with advisors and wholesalers, assisting them with being more proficient at nonverbal communication. Bill Acheson, let me welcome you to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you. Great to be here, Rob.
Bill, so tell me, we had a little conversation earlier about this notion of first impressions, and boy, I can't think of anything more important to a wholesaler than making the right first impression. Can you give us some idea of, you know, where the hot spots are there, please?
I think what we're looking at is emotional. I'm really focused on the role of emotion in sales. And what we find, and I've never had a person in one of my audiences disagree with what I'm about to say. I ask my audiences, agree or disagree, they have to buy you as an individual before they will agree to buy anything from you. And it's almost uniform that people agree with that. So when we first meet, what is it we need to project? And what we come away with is really three things. You have to be perceived as trustworthy. You've got to be seen as competent. Now, if they see you as trustworthy, and they perceive you as competent, you're two-thirds of the way there. The third factor is all about retention, and it's likability. If they find you trustworthy, they find you competent, and they like you. You're going to do business. You're going to create that long-running relationship that works for everybody involved.
So, Bill, do we have some time to peel the onion on that a little bit? Let's talk a little bit about this whole trustworthiness piece. So how in the heck do I project trustworthiness right out of the gate?
First thing you need to know is that you can't verbalize it. I can't walk up to you and say, Rob, one thing I can guarantee, I will never lie to you. I get a lot of laughs on that one. What we're going to find is, and I've done this with a number of people, the more comfortable you are with yourself and your product knowledge, the more trustworthy you appear. When we look at trustworthiness from a body language perspective, we actually do it backwards. We're more interested in focusing on things people shouldn't do, you know, like averting your gaze. For example, if you maintain 70% eye contact, over 85% of people see you as trustworthy no matter what else you're doing. So you want to keep solid eye contact. You want to avoid fidgeting. When we experience deception, we secrete adrenaline, and that causes people to fidget, twitch, move their hands, dart their eyes back and forth. What's interesting is when you secrete adrenaline, you also shut down your salivary glands. So you'll see people licking their lips, hard swallowing, gasping for air as I just did, and you'll see all these additional movements in the mouth region. Subconsciously, people pick up on this right away.
Hey, Bill, let's go back to that one statistic, because I thought it was so important, and I want to make sure it didn't go by too quickly. You said if we can maintain eye contact 70% of the time, in 85% of the cases, we will enhance our trustworthiness. Did I hear that correctly?
You did hear that correctly. There's a catch, though. For women, the rules are a little bit different, and I'll phrase it to you as kindly as I can. When transacting business with a male, we advise women to break eye contact at least once a minute. Because what we find happening is if women sustain eye contact for too long a period of time, in almost every case we've studied, the male presumes that she's attracted to him. We see sustained eye contact as attractiveness.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that self-serving?
Oh, yeah, but it's so interesting. So if I'm a female wholesaler, I want to be mindful of playing by a different rule. And I know we're going to talk about this when we get to listening skills, because wholesalers, we're going to talk about listening skills with Bill as well, which is really, really important. But there is this whole gender awareness when it comes to your work, isn't there?
Totally. Absolutely. Let me give you an illustration in a first encounter. What we find is that we, to be effective in sales, work at angles with men. Rob, if you and I were standing, we would never stand 18 inches apart, square-shouldered, face-to-face. But I could stand 1 inch from you, elbow to elbow, and we could talk all day comfortably. Always work at angles with men. If the folks who are listening to me have an office where people visit, I'll guarantee that over 75% of the time, the two chairs they have in front of their desk are turned at an angle. Men work at angles, and the exact opposite happens for females. When working with a female, and it doesn't matter if you are a male or a female, if your prospect or client is female, always square your shoulders and stay directly opposite her. Now, I'll give you a reason why. It's as simple as this. Men listen with their ears. Women listen with their eyes. When we do not orient ourselves directly across from a female prospect or client, the immediate suspicion is we're hiding something.
Wow. So if I go into a prospect's office, because I'm a wholesaler, I'm going to plant myself, I'm going to put my butt in their guest chair, you're saying I want to be certain if there's a male in front of me, regardless if I'm a male or a female wholesaler, if there's a male in front of me, make sure I take that angle that's likely set up for me. If it's a female that's sitting in front of me, I want to do my best to square up and get directly in front of them. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And most people have two chairs in front of their desk. Let me give you another little tip. It may not seem like a big thing, but when it works, it's incredible at creating rapport. Notice where the pens or pencils are on the desk. Right-handed people put them to the right. Left-handed people put them to the left. If you orient yourself to the left because you've got a left-handed person, what you're going to find is that that individual is going to be immediately more comfortable with you. I've had people remark about that they notice, that I sat on the right, on the side of the desk that makes them most comfortable.
So you're saying that if I witness that either their pens or other kind of work gear, if you will, because I'm looking at my desk as you're saying that, and I'm clearly oriented left. I got my monitor on the left-hand side. I've got my desk phone on the left-hand side. The pen I use is sitting on the left-hand side. You're saying that as the guest, I should sit oriented to their left. Is that correct?
That's the general bias. Now, if you've got a computer screen to the left, that may indicate right-handedness. It's a tough call. Most people, I look at how people are oriented. If they're right-handed, I sit to that side. If they're left-handed, which is about 10 to 12% of the time, I'm going to sit on that left side, and you make a big impression when you do that.
Interesting. Let's talk about this whole competent piece. So you gave us some really good thoughts about, how are we going to increase trustworthiness so quickly? How are we going to appear competent so quickly?
Competence, ironically, is not about, you don't go in and say, I'm a competent individual. So we're going to do it in an overt fashion. And what we see happening is there's several behaviors that will project this. It's funny, but if people have been told anything about body language in sales, it's probably this. Mirror the prospect or client.
Sure, we hear that all the time, yeah.
Exactly. And let me tell you what, in one academic study, it was shown to work against the sales professional 63% of the time.
Yeah.
Let's look at the logic behind mirroring the prospect or client. I walk in, and I've got a corner office financial advisor who doesn't know me from Adam. Okay? What's his trust level? Minimal. What's his cynicism level? It might be pretty high. Why would I take the body posture of that individual when he hasn't had the chance to know me, to come to understand that I'm not his enemy, to develop a little bit of rapport with me? What we actually see is mirroring works, but it works the exact opposite of what most people think. You don't want to mirror the prospect's behavior. You want them to mirror yours. So I'm suggesting to project competence, you sit erect with a slight forward lean, showing you're interested, but not eager. And you want to keep your hands in view at all times. If you're sitting with your hands on your lap, one touching the other, you're actually showing fear and insecurity. If you've got arms on those chairs, you have your hands on the arms of the chairs, and you're as relaxed as you can possibly be. That's protecting competence. The attitude that I would want to see in that room is this. If we're able to come together and do business, fantastic. And if we're not, we'll both probably survive. don't want to see eagerness. I don't want to see any anticipation, certainly any nervousness.
Boy. Okay, so we have so much to talk about and so little time to do it. We're going to skip over likability because we have to get to this other piece, this other piece of listening skills. And wholesalers, you know, if you've done any work together, if you've done some deep reading on the website, you know how important listening skills are. But, Bill, can I tell them your quote that I heard? Because it's such a tremendous quote. You'll be paid, wholesalers, listen to me, you'll be paid in direct proportion to how well you listen. Holy cow, Bill, that is so darn true. Expound on that and then give me that insight that we talked about. Listening is not the same, male versus female. Tell us more about that, please.
Okay, absolutely. First of all, realize that when most people talk about listening, they're really talking about how to respond to somebody. I'm going to go with a different tack. I'm going to look at it, and let's refine that saying, you are paid in direct proportion to your ability to listen. I'm going to refine that just a hair so that we can get a deeper understanding. You're not paid according to your ability to listen, because I'll tell you what, Rob, there's not a woman out there who thinks that men and women listen equally. So there's a tremendous bias. If you're a male and you're working with a female, you've already got to deal with that. You're not going to be paid according to your ability to listen. It's a little more sophisticated. You will be paid in direct proportion to your ability to project the nonverbal communication behavior that women associate with good listening.
Oh, that's a mouthful, Bill. So we want to be able to recognize what nonverbal cues signify that we are listening to a woman.
Absolutely. Males, I mean, we have a different set of rules. Let me tell you how it works. I'll give you some of what I consider the top listening behaviors. And I ask audiences all around the country, what's the number one listening skill? And seldom do I get the correct answer. You know what it is?
No, tell us. Tell us.
Silence. I was setting you up. It's silence. Okay? I'm gonna give your folks four words to grow their business, whether they're financial advisors or wholesalers or further up the food chain. I'll make you this guarantee. Men are topic controllers. We have our hearts in the right place, but it's our agenda that we tend to promote. And what we've learned is that most successful people in sales typically give a four-word command when meeting a prospect or client. I want to share with you, if you write nothing else down from this interview, take this one to the bank. Everyone you meet, I consider a viable candidate to do business with, and I'm going to say the same four words. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself. What you're going to get in response is the life agenda. It is literally the psychological values that person experiences day to day. I'll give you an example. I met a fellow in the Pittsburgh area. I said, tell me about yourself. And this was his answer. And we're going back over 20 years. I never forget it. He said, Bill, I drive a Maserati. I'm a surgeon. I am married and I have two children. Let's rank these in order of importance, Rob. The car, the career, what's your name and the kids. Okay? Now, I'm not making a value judgment. If status is that important to my prospect, we are going to focus on status. And I'll tell you what, when your folks have a car person, whether he's got a brand new Lexus or the latest in Mercedes, I will guarantee you the same three things they'll be looking for in an investment vehicle are what they were looking for in a motor vehicle. Performance, safety, and value. That's what we see. It's called an endomeme. We only have so much space in our brains, so we create a prototype, and then we look to fill that prototype over and over and over again. Performance, safety, and value when you've got a car person. Let me go through some of these listening skills. Silence. Say, tell me about yourself, and then practice silence. They will fill that empty space, and they will give you the formula to connect with them if you're attentive. The other one we've already spoken about, it's eye contact. We're going to find less than 30% eye contact. No one, literally no one, will find you trustworthy. And what we're going to find is a mixture of 70% eye contact while you're speaking and about 70% eye contact while you're listening is the perfect formula. And don't worry about the numbers, okay? The response you get from people will tell you how well you're doing. There's a thing called behavioral flooding. And I'll tell you, when somebody gets highly emotional, okay, I strongly advocate sitting erect with a slight forward lean in order to show competence but not, you know, eagerness. When somebody gets highly emotional, whether it's positive or negative, this is the time that you lean forward into their personal space and you just practice that silence. When you lean forward, and we call it behavioral flooding. So someone says, there's been a death in my family. It's been a very difficult time. Lean forward. There's nothing you can say right now. Let them speak. If they're free to speak, they will connect with you. Leaning forward does four things. Number one, it gives you better eye contact. Number two, it provides for better space management. The third thing it does is it shows a commitment to listening. And the final thing that you'll get is that it eliminates opportunities for distraction. You're shortening the distance. You're going to see less in your peripheral vision. So when it's emotional, that's a wonderful tool. When it's not emotional, stay erect. You don't want to be in that situation. You're going to look eager.
Bill, let me bring us to a close because I have to, but I want to go back on one thing that you said, because you said that those four powerful words were tell me about yourself. So I want you to help me help my audience reconcile, reconcile a challenge. So one of the things as wholesalers we never want to do is walk into an advisor's office and say, tell me about your practice, which is akin to tell me about yourself. So I have to figure out how to, because that would infer that we've not done our homework. That would infer that we know nothing about the advisor. And in this day and age, you better walk in armed, which wholesalers that listen to this podcast know we talk about ad nauseum. So if I say, tell me about yourself, it may have that ring to it of I'm unprepared. So what do you recommend? How do I reconcile the tell me about yourself, because there's so much goodness to be found in the answer, with the conundrum of I don't want to appear to be unprepared for the conversation I'm entering into, which could affect and will affect their first impression of me?
Absolutely. Let me tell you what. Number one, I'm not used to working with people who are as competent as your folks. If that's the way they've been trained, they're in a wonderful place. Now, what we've learned in conversational speech is that most people want to help. Most people want to be helpful. I'd walk into an office and say something akin to this. You know what? I wonder if you can help me something. I think I have an understanding of how you conduct your business, but I want to make sure I'm on the right page so that I can provide for you the best that I have to offer. You've opened up the conversation. You've given them the opportunity to set the agenda, and if nothing else, that should get a conversation going.
Okay. Wholesalers, do you think that there's, you know, an endless stream of conversation here with Bill? Obviously, someone that knows his craft unbelievably well. Bill, all you've done is really tease us in 18 minutes with all of your knowledge. But at the same time,
I'd love to come back and do it again.
It's very generous of you, and we may well take you up on that offer. Wholesalers, head out to the website. I'll hook up the links. You can go out to Bill's page. Rumor has it somewhere out in time, he has a book that's on the horizon. We'll make sure we add that to the website when it eventually comes out. Bill Acheson, thank you so much for joining us on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate the chance.
Wholesalers, come back again next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. You still there?